The Creator has planted seeds in all of us. Jesus is calling us to bear spiritual fruit. The Holy Spirit moves in us, encouraging us to grow. Amen.
And turn in your hymnals to 328. We'll sing Surely the Presence of the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings, the glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings, see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. If you would turn to number 880, we will have our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
You went very fast, JT. Yes, you did. everybody doing today? I have some pictures I want to show you and the congregation, and I want you to describe the picture when you see in the picture. Flower? Anybody else want to tell me what they see? Anything else? All right. Oh, you got a boo-boo there. Well, I know what makes it feel better. What is this? More flowers. Look at these pretty yellow flowers. Aren't they pretty? Everybody can see these out there? Okay. Now, what is this picture? Flower? Yeah? It is. More flowers. What is that flower? I'm going to tell you in just a minute. And what about this? What do you see in this picture? Flowers. Oh, boy. Are you starting to notice a theme here? Only flowers. What about this one right here? Yeah, very nice. Let's see. That's all of the pictures I have. And we all say they're what? Flowers. Guess what, boys and girls? Every single one of these is a weed. Every single one of these is a weed. And what do we do with weeds in our gardens? We're supposed to pluck them up, right? So but guess what? It's sometimes hard to tell the difference between a flower and a weed. So Jesus tells us we have to be careful about that, especially with people, that we're not to pull up the weeds who are bad people. We're to let the weeds grow along with the wheat, along with our crop. We let the weeds go, which is something very different from what we learn in gardening. It's not the same as gardening, because he's actually talking about people. He's actually talking about people. And he says that there are people who are weeds and there are people who are bad, but we leave them alone, right? We don't pluck them up. That there will come a time when God does the plucking up, but we are not to do that. We are to keep everybody in the kingdom, good and bad. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. God, this is a difficult thing to understand, that we're to let evil coexist along with good, but you have a great plan, and we know that things can happen in you that we cannot see or know about. So help us to be the kind of people to be wheat in other people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Here we go. This is a very big decision here. Got one. Ashton, you want to get one? There you go. You got chocolate. You're welcome. And now we continue to worship our Lord this morning with the giving of our gifts. I invite the ushers, if they would please come forward as we take the morning offering. Those weeds are getting watered right now. Let us pray. We do pray, O God, that you nourish us today, not just physically, but also spiritually. Give us what we need, dear God, to continue to grow in your grace and strength, and use us as you use these gifts for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We've had Todd with us here for around a month now, filling in for George. George has been doing a lot of great things in community out there. That's a good thing. But we've really, Todd has been really good to us. He's done a great job. Just want to give him a big round of applause.
Yay!
Now Todd's going to play something really special for us.
Our thanks to Todd this morning for all his support and talent and gifts that he so freely gives. We appreciate him. Yeah. I was just writing down some names here that I wanted to remember to mention. And, of course, I've forgotten some of them. But one I forgot to mention last week was my own father. So if I can forget him, boy, I can forget a lot of things. You notice he wasn't here last week or this week. He's not feeling real well, so I would ask that you keep my father, and his name is Morel. I know you've never heard that kind of name before, but anyway, Morel is my dad's name. We had a death this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact. I know some of you heard this as you came in to church today, but Rosemarie Gogler passed away. In hospice care late yesterday afternoon, and we don't know the arrangements yet. Her family is speaking with the funeral home today, so we will send out a one call later on when we find out what the arrangements will be. But we especially want to remember Mert, her sister, and of course the rest of her family as well. Rhonda Barlow is recovering from her knee surgery, and she is home. She went home. The surgery was Tuesday, and she went home on Saturday, and looks forward to many weeks of therapy. I don't know whether she actually looks forward to that or not, but at any rate, she's going to get many weeks of therapy and hopefully retain her abilities and her walking and all of that kind of good thing. I want us to pray for the Carleys, Katie and Ben Carley, their daughter Beth, and Anna as well. Ben had all of his teeth pulled recently, and is recovering from that. His upper teeth were pulled, and so he's eating soft food only. So they've had quite a bit to deal with, and so we are remembering them in prayer today. I also want to ask for the children that are going to youth camp to come up, if they would. And that's Megan and John and Bradley. And come over here and kneel, if you would. We're going to pray for your trip, your experience at camp. And rather than coming and laying hands on them, I want you to extend your hands toward them as we pray today that God will be with them. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful to you that these young people are interested in going to camp to know you better, to have you in their lives, and to meet other Christian boys and girls. That they will, we pray that they may grow in spirit and in truth during this week, and that you will keep them safe, let them have a lot of fun, and bring them back home to us again. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I would just like us to spend a few moments silently praying, and when you, if you feel called to do so, to share, if you would, the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you feel needs God's healing touch today. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to God in prayer? Jimmy Stewart, Mark's friend, who passed away this week. We have a lot of needs today that we bring before you, O God, especially when we want to remember those who have lost a loved one. We remember Mark, who lost a friend. We remember Mert, who lost not only a sister, but a best friend. And all the others that we have named before you, dear God, be with them. Let your peace surround them and give them the confidence to know that one day you will see them again, that they have gone on to be at rest and at peace in their true heavenly home with their Father. All these needs, dear God, you can surround with your power and your healing touch. And we know that your love includes us and that you have a plan that includes us and that we are never outside of your care. Help us to be your church and your people when we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing, Lord, Reign in Me.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I've checked on her, but she doesn't come through the door. Not that I know of.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Reign in me again. Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect beauty of my Lord, cause you mean more to me any earthly thing. Reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power, over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. Please be seated.
Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" This is a word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Good and evil, side by side, coexisting without checks and balances, without criteria for adjudicating which is which. This is perhaps one of the most challenging and problematic issues in all of Christian thought. Where does evil come from? Is it as simple as assigning it to an alternate being, the enemy? And perhaps more importantly, is it as easily determinable as we would like to think? Is it so readily recognized as we sometimes are tempted to believe? Of course, this generation is not the first to wonder about the problem of evil and suffering in the world. People have been struggling with the problem of sin and injustice ever since Cain killed his brother Abel, and the Lord asked Cain where his brother was. And Cain said, "How should I know? Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "O Cain, what have you done? Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." Well, people in Jesus' time were no different from us. Just like all of us, people back in the day wondered why their neighbors had fallen victim to diseases, why their dear friend, the most faithful person you'd ever want to meet, suddenly was diagnosed with cancer, or why their cousin's child was born with a crippling disease, or why their aunt seemed to be overtaken by an evil spirit. Just like us, people back in Jesus' time found themselves surrounded by all manner of sin and evil and horror. And that's one of the reasons that the crowds gathered around wherever Jesus went, is because he offered them hope. He had an amazing ability to bring healing and hope to the people who needed it the most. And one of the ways that Jesus talked about hope was the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like what happened when a farmer scattered his good seed in a field, but then when everybody was asleep, an enemy snuck into the field and scattered weed seeds among the wheat. When the crops began to sprout up, the workers in the field could see that there were weeds mixed in with the good wheat. And so they asked the farmer how the weeds had gotten so thick, and when they saw him plant only good seeds. And the farmer said, "An enemy did this." So the workers offered to go into the field and pull up all the weeds, and the farmer said, "No. No, it is too hard to tell the weeds from the wheat at this stage of their growth. Leave them alone until harvest time. And when that day comes, I'll tell my workers to pick out the weeds, to tie up and burn, and then I'll have them bundle the wheat to go into my barn." So at one level, we could look at this parable in terms of our individual selves, that in each of us, there are seeds of wheat and seeds of weeds. We could say, we are weedy people. We can look at our lives, our character, our habits, and see that each one of us inside is a mixture of wheat and weeds, a mixture of good and bad. The fact is, for every single one of us, no matter how much good wheat we have growing, there are weeds inside our hearts. We have weeds of pride, weeds of resentment, weeds of guilt and prejudice, weeds of despair, weeds of bitterness. The weed of sin has been randomly scattered among the good seed that was sown in each one of us. And that weed has sprouted and taken root. And it is very hard to distinguish the weeds from the wheat within us. So what do we do about those weeds that are inside of us? Are we to try to pick every weed out and pluck it up and throw it into the fire so that we can feel like we are free from sin? Completely good and righteous and perfect? In the parable, the workers ask the farmer this very question, but the farmer says, no, don't try to pull them up because you'll pull out the good ones along with the bad. Leave them alone until the harvest time. And then I'll tell my workers to gather the weeds and tie them up and burn them. What does that mean? I think that it means that there is a danger in thinking that we can, if we try hard enough, turn ourselves into fields of pure wheat. We have to admit that there is no way we can get rid of the weeds ourselves. We can't get rid of our sinfulness on our own, no matter how hard we try. It is only God that can free us from our sin. Only God can discern what is wheat, what is weed, and only God can prune away the weeds from our souls. And so that's our prayer, is to ask God for help to weed those things out of us. We have to ask God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We have to pray to God to cleanse us of our sinful nature and make us a little less weedy. Now I want you to imagine that the field in the parable is not us individually, but rather the church, our church community. Consider for a moment that Calvary is a church of both wheat and weeds. That isn't something that we really want to think about, much less admit, but it's true, and everyone knows it. All congregations have many good seeds sprouting up, but the fact is they inevitably have a few weeds among the wheat. And I wonder who the pastor is thinking about here. Who does she think is a weed in the congregation? Or maybe you are thinking of who the weeds are in this congregation, who you would like to see plucked up and thrown out. But the point of the story is, again, that thankfully it's not up to us. It's not up to me as the pastor or you as a member to go through the rolls, through a list of names, and decide who is weedy and who is wheat. As tempting as that sometimes sounds to us, that's not what we're supposed to do. And the parable is very clear on this. The farmer told his workers they are not to pull up the weeds. Because, as he said, you might also pull up the wheat. And I tell you something, I thank God for that teaching. I thank God that it isn't up to me, that it isn't up to the people to have to distinguish the weeds from the wheat. Because I guarantee you that no matter how much or how well we think we might be able to do that job, not a single one of us would do it with the eyes of God, as much as we might want to. Our job is not to pick out the weeds and burn them. That's God's job. And it's God's job alone. He doesn't need our help. Our job is to leave the weeds alone until the harvest time. And as hard as that may be to do, our job is to accept that for the time being, there are going to be weeds among the wheat. We have to accept that. We must be patient with that. We must be forgiving of that. That's what we're called to do. But it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, it isn't easy to stand by and watch the weeds threaten to choke out the good wheat and that is growing. It isn't easy to keep from making those judgments about others and those comments that slip from our mouths. It isn't easy to practice the way of peacemaking. And it especially isn't easy to love our enemies. But that's exactly what this passage is about. Jesus says very clearly in Scripture that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who mistreat us. Boy, that's tough. What good does it do us to love only those who love us? Even the tax collectors can do that. How much greater, albeit more difficult, is it to live in the way of our God in heaven and love those who are the hardest to love? There's yet a third possibility for understanding this parable, and that's the one that Jesus offered in his explanation of this. The third way is that the field is the whole world, and it is a weedy world indeed that we live in. The good seeds are those who practice the ways of the Lord, and the weed seeds are the ones who practice the ways of the evil one. And it is the evil one who scattered the weeds, the weed seeds among the wheat seeds. Suffering and sadness and evil are simply sown all around us. And we know that's true in life. God didn't plant the seeds of evil and suffering, but God allows it to be present in the world. There are weeds among the wheat. Bad things do happen to good people. People do suffer. Generous, loving people get terminal diseases, and innocent children get abused. Good, hardworking families lose their houses. People do suffer. Good people and bad people alike suffer in this world. God sends rain on both the good and those who do bad. But sometimes it just feels like evil runs so rampantly that it blinds us to see the wheat and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven that is also around us, mixed in with the weeds. But rest assured, the kingdom of heaven is here, always around, all the time, because Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was one of the most frequent things he said in Scripture. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it is near to us. The kingdom of heaven is at hand when God removes the hardness of our hearts and fills us with the ability to love and to find a way to love those who are the hardest to love. The kingdom of heaven is at hand when we pull together and work through something difficult in a spirit of caring and honesty and integrity. The kingdom of heaven is at hand even when we suffer the most painful loss imaginable. That's usually when we say, where are you, God? Where are you? But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, even in the midst of the weeds. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And thank the Lord that it is. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Days of Elijah. And if you're sitting near someone that's in the choir and they're not singing it out loud, I want you to let me know, okay? These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of the trial of famine and darkness and sorrow. Still we are the voice in the desert cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hold ye come, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Hear of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation come. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days your servant David building a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Fields are as white in the world. We are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he come, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation come. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Turn it up. Holy he come, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation come. Behold, he come, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, light of Zion's hill, salvation come.
Good job, Mark. Good job, sir.
Heart.